Blog Talk Radio.
It's as simple as something that nobody knows it. Her eyes are as big as her bubbly toes. On the feet of a queen of the hearts of the cards, and her feet are all covered with tar balls and scars. It's a common or something that nobody knows it. Her beauty will follow wherever she goes. Up the hill in the back of her house in the wood, she loved me forever, I know she could. At the DLG when this little girl came and she sat next to me. Never seen nobody move the way she did. Well, she did and she does and she'll do it again. When you move like a jellyfish, rhythm don't mean nothing. You go with the flow, you don't stop. Move like a jellyfish, rhythm is nothing. You go with the flow, you don't stop. It's a coming to something that nobody knows. That a beauty will follow wherever she goes. Up the hill in the back of a house in the woods, she loved me forever, I know. She la da 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 da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da. If you would only listen, you might just realize what you're missing. You're missing me. You would only listen, you might just realize what you're missing. You're missing me. Simple as something that nobody knows. That her eyes are as big as her bubbly toes. And the feet of a queen of the hearts of the car. Feet are infested with tar balls. And la da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da.
Hard to find your pain.
flowers on. Guess that I was afraid that if you rode away, you might not roll back my direction real soon. Well, I was crazy about you then and now, but the craziest thing of all, over 10 years have gone by, you're still mine, locked in time. Let's rewind. Do you remember when we first moved in together? The piano took up the living room. You play me boogie woogie, I play you love songs. You say we're playing house, now you still say we are. We built our ghetto. They come and go, and alone don't seem so long. Over 10 years have gone by. We can't rewind, we're locked in time, but you're still mine.
All righty.
We have launched.
Turn on his mic. You on?
I think everybody's on now.
All right.
Hello. Welcome to Planet Green Trees, episode 320. It's as simple as something that nobody knows. And it's amazing. September 29th, also known as Michael Camorne's birthday.
All right. And of course, my dear friend and longtime, somewhat friend, Darren, wants to remain anonymous for some reason. Doesn't want to be known that he's here, but I've only known him for 40 some odd years. So welcome back, Darren. All right, so we started a little weird, and nothing may be making sense right now, but I'm going to try to turn it all up right now. Welcome. This is Planet Green Trees, episode 320. It's as simple as something that nobody knows. I'm your host, Michael Camorne. We're about to embark on 2 hours of nothing but fun and fantasy. And to do that, bring you that entertainment, the community beside me here, I want to introduce them. Please welcome Chad from the Birmingham Compassion Club.
Good evening. It's nice to be here.
As I mentioned, my friend Darren, he's going to go by Darren Anonymous. Welcome, Darren. Okay.
Hello.
And, of course, we have our very special news editor, Planet Green Trees, and the editor-in-chief of the Compassion Chronicles. Please welcome Rick Thompson.
I am very special. Thank you.
A lot of events going on. We'll talk about your event coming up, break, hopefully. And, of course, Jamie Lowell, our esteemed producer, who puts the shows together week in and week out. And he is from Third Coast Compassion. Please say hello to Jamie Lowell.
Hello. Hey, Michael. It's very festive in here. Hello. Happy birthday, Michael. It's very festive in here.
You just said that twice. That's funny.
He's in a Vindaloop. I'll come out of it, Charlie. We have, of course, Jim Powers from Michigan Parents for Compassion. Please welcome Jim Powers.
Good evening, everyone. Fairly certain Jamie Lowell's having a psychotic break.
First sign is when you repeat things over and over again. Our special rover and the guy that fills in all the important issues and holes, please welcome T-Pain. Come on. What the fuck is happening?
All right, try it down.
Watch that moon tonight.
Is it going to be full moon? Something? Holland, right. And, of course, my dear friend, colleague, attorney extraordinaire, and king of the Galapagos Islands, please welcome Jeff Frazier.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, so very festive in here. If you're listening at home, we are taking calls, and the calling number is what, Jim Powers? Come on.
Yep, it's 224-803-3098.
All right, so as you know, we are celebrating my birthday a little bit. Also, this Saturday, October 1st, Grow Green in Whitmore Lake presents a Customer Appreciation Day and Expo featuring many of the region's top vendors for garden supplies, as well as MI Legalized. Jamie Lowell is going to be out there. Rick, maybe not, and but
Rick
other people. Kamoran Law is going to. Kamoran Law is there. And if Jamie's there, everyone should be there. Also, this Saturday, John Sinclair celebrates his 75th birthday in the Ann Arbor area. The event is to be emceed by world-renowned musician and producer Don Was. He'll be joined by other great artists, including Laith Alcetti, and Bob Beldori, and Betty Levitt, and Larry McRae. That's a bash. That is a bash. I cited John Sinclair's case today in court, by the way.
Nice.
The celebration will also serve as a fundraiser for the John Sinclair Foundation. Our discussion tonight is and will be about what change in the law will affect patients and caregivers, particularly concerning extracts, infused items, and transporting medicine. Calling in tonight, Robert Whitfall Jr. from the Big City Rhythm and Blues magazine, member of the Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, and main organizer of the John Sinclair Birthday Bash fundraiser. Joined by the legend himself, John Sinclair, also from Grow Green Michigan, Ann Schultz, organizer of Saturday's Growers Expo, and of course, our dear friend from the great up north, Brad Forrester, longtime cannabis activist and MI Normal board member, who along with PGT's own Chad who? Chad what? Chad why? Did what?
Chad how?
Updated the MMA guidebook for patients and caregivers to reflect new change in the medical marijuana law. All right,
good
so
stuff.
That's what the show's about. Got a lot to talk about. I think we're taking a quick break. The call number, again, Jim Powers, is what? What?
224-803-3098.
We're come back and I'm going to rant. I got a lot to talk about. I got a lot to get off my chest. I can't even begin to tell you how much of that is going to. All right, and we'll be right back.
Trouble travels fast when you're specially designed for crash tests, then wearing wool sunglasses in the afternoon. Come on and tell us what you're trying to prove. Cause it's a battle when you dabble in war. You store it up, unleash it, then you piece it together. Weather the storm drain, running rampant, you stamp it, send it to somebody who's pretending to care. Just cash in your blanks for little toy tanks. Learn how to use them and abuse them and choose them over conversations. Relationships are overrated. I hated everyone, said the sun. And so I will cook all your books. You took a look and then mistook, and you could watch it instead from the comfort of your burning bed. Or you could sleep through the static. But who needs sleep when we've got love? Who needs keys when we've got clubs? Who needs fleas when we've got guns? Who needs peace when we've gone above? But beyond where we should have gone, we went beyond where we should have gone. Stuck between channels, my thoughts all quit. I thought about them too much, allowed them to touch. The feelings of rain down on the plains, all dried and cracked, waiting for things that never came. Shock and awful thing to make somebody think that they have to choose. Pushing for peace, supporting the troops, and either you're weak or you use brute force feed. The truth is we say not as we do. We say anytime, anywhere, just show your teeth and strike the fear of God. Wears camouflage, cries at night and tries to dodge. Picked up the beat, stop hogging the feet. That's no way to treat an enemy. Well, mighty, mighty appetite, we just eat them up and keep on driving. Freedom can be freezing, take a picture from the pretty side. Mind your manners, wave your banners, what a wonderful world that this angle can see. But who needs to see what we've done? Who needs please when we've got guns? Who needs keys when we've got clubs? Who needs peace when we've
gonna buzz. But beyond where we should have gone, beyond where we should have gone, we went beyond where we should have gone, beyond where we should have gone. Which way will you run when it's always all around you and the feeling lost and found you again, a feeling that we have no control around the sun? Some say it's gonna be the new hell, some say it's still too early to tell, some say really ain't no myth at all. Keep asking ourselves, are we really strong enough? There's so many things that we got too proud of. We're too proud of. Proud of. I want to take the preconceived out from underneath your feet. We could shake it off and instead we'll plant some seeds. We'll watch them as they grow and with each new beat from your heart the roots grow deeper. The branches will they reach for us?
Alrighty, we're back. Thanks for staying with us. Planet Green Tree is officially episode number, what is it, we're calling it 320. It's as simple as something that nobody knows. And there are festivities taking place there. All right, so I've been itching to talk about this, and there's been a couple situations where it has already come up and effectively worked as we planned. So this is what I want to say. So as we know and as we have been discussing the new bills, there is a very interesting aspect of the 4210. Of course, 4210 is not a new law. It's an amendment to the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, Voter Initiative 2008. And as I about to describe to you, this really creates what I would describe as a path to amnesty for persons who are investigated and then arrested or prosecuted, convicted, or suffered penalty of any kind for marijuana charges related to possessing non-plant material medical marijuana. What happened? Well, on Tuesday, September 22nd, the governor signed into law several new bills allowing a statewide regulated licensing scheme for medical marijuana. That's the 4209, creating a new law, and also House Bill 4210, which amended the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act and specifically amended the sections within the act of the definition section, Section 4, Section 6, Section 7. And when the House Bill 4210 was signed into law, the most significant and important aspect of the new legislation was the amendatory language included within the amendments. Specifically, the amendments included the following language. This amendatory act clarifies ambiguities in the law in accordance with the original intent of the people, as expressed in Section 2B of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act of 2008. They refer to MCL 333.26422. They go on to say this amendatory act is curative and applies retroactively as to the following: clarifying the quantities and forms of marijuana for which a person is protected from arrest, precluding an interpretation of weight as aggregate weight, and excluding an added inactive substrate component of a preparation to determine the amount of marijuana, medical marijuana, or usable marijuana that constitutes an offense. Retroactive application of this amendatory act does not create cause of action against law enforcement officers or any other state or local government officers, employees, department, or agencies that enforce this act under a good faith interpretation of its provisions at the time of the enforcement. So the question that comes up is, do the new amendments to the MA help or hurt patients and caregivers? What we find is that the amendments go on to say is that enacting this amendatory act clarifies ambiguities in the law in accordance with the original intent as expressed in Section 2B. I say that again because the reference here to the area that they're referring to is important. It says that, consequently, changing state law will have the practical effect of protecting from arrest the vast majority of seriously ill people who have a medical need to use marijuana. And I say that because, as we all know, in November of 2008, 63% of Michigan voters overwhelmingly passed the voter initiative Proposition 1. Acknowledging that cannabis is medicine and that physicians, patients, and their caregivers would be protected from arrest, prosecution, and penalty of any kind. The history of Michigan elections, the 3.3 million votes cast approving medical marijuana voter initiative was the most votes in the history of Michigan elections. And often overlooked and never quoted or cited in any Michigan Court of Appeals or Michigan Supreme Court cases are the following passages from the MMA. The people of the state of Michigan find and declare that, one, cannabis marijuana is in fact medicine. What am I talking about? This is right there in the law. You will not find it in any opinions from the Court of Appeals, not from the Michigan Supreme Court. Never. But it goes on to say in Section A that modern research, medical research, including that National Academy of Science Institute of Medicine as of March 1999 reported that cannabis provides alleviation to chronic pain and nausea, etc. And since then, you could go to any, there's thousands of publications now that are supporting the principle that cannabis is medicine. I don't think that that is a question anymore, but in 2008, that is what the voter initiative declared. Two, persons engaged in the medical use of marijuana, specifically those defined as patients and caregivers, should be protected from criminal prosecutions. This also is in the section of the declarations and findings of the MMA that is never cited in any particular case ever. But what it goes on to say is that, specifically, when we enacted this law, the principle and intent of it is what I'm trying to get across here, as it's written, says we do this because, consequently, changing state law will have the practical effect of protecting from arrest the vast majority of seriously ill people who have medical need to use marijuana. And three, the other section of the findings and declarations, paragraph C, says that although federal law prohibits any use of marijuana, except in limited circumstances, states, of course, are not required to enforce federal law. And thus, Michigan joins in this effort for the health and welfare of its citizens. This third paragraph should be understood as that the intent of the MMA was explicitly for the benefit, health, and welfare of Michigan citizens and not for police and government profit. In addition to the passage of the MMA in 2008, at least 21 Michigan cities since 2011 have decriminalized or legalized marijuana, and this has continued to go. I don't even know if that number is accurate anymore. Is it more? Maybe even more than 21. So the question that remains after what I'm trying to explain is, why did the legislature amend the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act? And why am I talking about the findings and declarations of the MMA, MCLA 333-26242-A-C? Well, it's important to understand that the most recent Michigan State Police data that indicates arrests for marijuana possessions or use are increasing, even as arrests for other crimes are going down, according to data collected by the Michigan State Police. That's why I'm talking about this, because between 2008 and 2014, arrests for marijuana possession or use went up 70% statewide. That data shows, while arrests for all crimes dropped by 15%. Despite these facts, arrests for marijuana possession or use went up 17%. This is according to the Michigan State Police. Since 2008, the Michigan State Police have consistently reported forfeiture proceeds in the amount of $24 to $26 million per year. See the 2015 Michigan State Police Asset Forfeiture Report, which reflects the 2014 and 15 forfeiture. The former director of the Michigan State Police Forensic Science Division, Mushad, has stated publicly that the forensic lab spends 40% of its resources testing marijuana, and that, he said, is the reason they've been unable to catch up with the backlog of evidence rape kits. Additional disturbing trends from the Michigan State Police data, as reflected in a recent article from Station 9 and 10, where Blake Rosnowski and photojournalist Noah Jurek talked to the prosecutor and state representatives who authored the bill, and this is what was said. Rosnowski and Jurek talked to the prosecutors, the state representative authored the bills, and asked specifically how local law enforcement are reacting to the changes and how they'll handle medical marijuana now. Or said another way, how will police and prosecutors handle it going forward? And this is what they said. According to Sheboygan prosecutor, County Prosecutor Daryl Bazina, he said, police and courts are determining how they go forward after years of confusion over the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. He goes on to say, we had a lot of people assuming they knew what the law was. They didn't. The prosecutors didn't. Law enforcement didn't. It's been a mess in a way. Michigan State Police say they are working with the Department of License and Regulatory Affairs and prosecutors to make sure, listen to this, they understand the law and enforce it properly.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
It's
finally
something the sponsors of one of the bills, State Rep Mike Calton, says will make enforcement easier. I was going to amend this and take this out, but it's got something here that is important for our show, although he left. Let's say a policeman, this is according to Mike Calton, let's say a policeman pulls a person over and they have a medicine container in their car. Well, it's got a barcode or Scantron on it. The police can determine from that Scantron where it's been grown, who transported it, where it was tested, where it was refined, etc. This is according to Calton. Prosecutors like Vinznia hope the laws will be more clear to the people in the medical marijuana community. It's kind of been a learning process where charges get charged. Maybe someone gets prosecuted. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe later down the road, the higher court overturns the convictions. La-di-dee, la-di-da. All right. So it's important to understand this. See, because the way it goes is this. It's unequivocal that the voters in 2008 declared that marijuana is medicine and people should be protected. That specifically, the law was enacted not for the gain and profit of law enforcement and prosecutors, but for the specific purpose of the health and well-being of Michigan citizens. It's often hard to understand how a law that received more than 50% votes in all 83 counties of Michigan could have been so poorly misinterpreted and implemented. To the extent that one believes that the intention of the MMA was to provide a shield for patients and caregivers, it is hard to reconcile the overwhelming evidence from the Michigan State Police data that very little of the voters' intention was honored. Instead, the law enforcement community has utilized the MMA as a sword, resulting in a string of 8 years of success defined by the increase of marijuana arrests and consistent profits from forfeiture proceeds. The bill signed into law by the governor allowed for a statewide regulatory scheme for medical marijuana and also amended the act. However, listening to how law enforcement community reacted to this news gives some insight into how this community has been able to get away with its treatment of patients and caregivers for the last 8 years. And as so articulated by the Michigan State Police, their data, and Daryl Vinzina, who claims apparently to be speaking on behalf of all prosecutors and law enforcement, hopefully there'll be some clarifications, he says, because we had a lot of people assuming they knew what the laws were. I have to repeat that again. He says they didn't know what the laws were. The prosecutors didn't. Law enforcement didn't. It's been a mess. Now, these quotes from those within the law enforcement community should bring shame to them personally, but most importantly, their profession. For starters, never has the Michigan State Police previously made a public statement that they are trying to learn about the MMA. In 8 years, they've never done that. The medical use of marijuana, or even how they as law enforcement officers shall enforce issues surrounding, say, usable marijuana. To see them quoted 8 years after the enactment of the MMA that they are going to make sure they understand the law and enforce them properly sounds more like an apology for not previously understanding the law and previously properly enforcing it. But the quotes by the Sheboygan prosecutor is truly amazing. As a lawyer, I interpret his quotes as a confession to crimes he and others in the law enforcement community committed against the medical marijuana community. You can't say these things and not understand your duty as a prosecutor. As a lawyer, I would have advised him to take the fifth, but let's look at and think about what he's actually saying. His statement was, we had a lot of people assuming that they knew what the law was. They didn't. To state he personally didn't know the law but prosecuted others for violating the same law is the definition of a due process violation. His statement objectively interpreted means that he expected those he was prosecuting to have a greater grasp and knowledge of the MMA than himself, the elected county prosecutor. To publicly state that not knowing or understanding the law, and this has been a guiding force for prosecution, is an expression of failure, an admission of ignorance. It reflects a lack of integrity, honesty, and the requisite duty of fairness in any prosecution. The duty of a prosecutor is not to win at any cost or even to try to win if the law is unclear to them and the police. Prosecutors, as judicial officers, have a duty to the accused as well, and that is to ensure that the protection of the accused's constitutional rights. This is fundamental. This is the obligation of the prosecutor in any case that it chooses to prosecute. Often overlooked and seemingly forgotten in the modern justice system is the state's moral and ethical obligation to ensure fair trials for the accused. Failing to do this is the definition of an unequal and uneven playing field, but this is how it has been. If you don't believe me, let's examine the recent amendments to the MMA. What do the amendments say? I have to say this, that to most persons who are going to read the amendments, you'll only see words and not really fully understand in depth, in the minutiae, what they are really saying. You have to look closely, and I would not rely on the traditional statutory rules of interpretation, the plain meaning of the words, rules of interpretation. You have to abandon that interpretation to see what I see. What do I say? They say, what do the amendments say? And I ask this rhetorically. You know what they say? I'm going to tell you what they say. They say that Camorn was right. Frazier was right. Chad was right. Josh wasn't here, but I was. Jeff, Chad, Camorn, we were right. They were wrong. So that's my subjective interpretation. But objectively, this is what they really are saying. These amendments by the legislature have confirmed the states have erred for the last 8 years. The link to the Carruthers blog would go in here. The legislature's recent amendments to the MMA acknowledged for the first time that the declaration sections of the MMA that I was just speaking of, they recognize it for the first time. It has never been in a court of appeals opinion. It hasn't been a Supreme Court opinion. The legislature highlights this, and they acknowledge that for the first time, the intention of the MMA has always been to change state law to practically affect and protect from arrest the vast majority of seriously ill people who have a medical need to use marijuana. In doing so, the legislator has now provided relief for those persons who have been wrongly prosecuted in the state for the state's failure to acknowledge these protections that were intended for patients and caregivers. The amendments to the MMA 4210 unequivocally clarify and make legal the possession of non-plant material marijuana. Do we all understand that? That this nonsense that has been taking place where patients are getting arrested because they're possessing medical marijuana and some cop who knows nothing about anything and a laboratory that couldn't report what it is anyways is calling that contraband, okay? That's where we've come to. That's the area that we've landed on. They authorized the possession of these materials, and specifically for those who are keeping track at home, this is how it's changed. Now 16 ounces of marijuana-infused product in a solid form.
Yeah.
7 grams of marijuana-infused products in a gaseous form, maybe someone who has
gas
can explain it to me. With 36 fluid ounces of marijuana-infused products, if in a liquid form. This, of course, would be your beer and your Mountain Dews infused with cannabis. The new amendments to the MMA pursuant to 4210 also apply retroactively and are intended to be curative. The new amendments create an opportunity, everyone listen, to bring relief to those persons who have been wrongly accused of possessing non-plant material. The new amendments create an opportunity to revisit and correct the situation with probable cause of a crime in an investigation of patients and caregivers illegally continued or escalated because the subject matter of the investigation was that silly old non-plant material marijuana. It's important to understand the exponential number of scenarios where an investigation was continued, escalated because the material substance the officer came upon was this contraband, this terrible, evil, non-usable marijuana known as non-plant material marijuana. If this happened to you, you were right to believe that it was wrong. If this happened to you, the police, prosecutors, and the state were wrong. And if this happened to you, you more likely than not have a remedy to right this wrong. The new amendments are more than clear in what mistakes it intends to fix and to which individuals may benefit from this correction. State admits, acknowledges that they may contain ambiguities that need to clarify because the current state interpretation failed to address the needs and the desire of the act. The mandatory language provides opportunity to set aside a prior conviction, revisit a prior case that is over, and reopen the case to litigate the state's admitted errors. Legislatively enacted laws or amendments usually never, ever apply retroactively unless the amended language contains an explicit reference to a retroactive application, as the amendments contained in 4210 do. This is a very unique opportunity that does not happen often, and persons who have been afflicted by the state's admitted errors now have a potential path to right the wrong. And as a general rule, the ability to set aside a conviction has limitations. The courts are in the business of closing cases, not opening them. Expungements, albeit expanded by law in 2015, and motions to set aside convictions, what are known as 6500 motions, which are usually limited to constitutional or statutory grounds only, are the normal limitations by which someone could address this. I am saying that the amendments to 4210 create an entirely new statutory method to seek relief from convictions and penalty. So, if you have a loved one meets the criteria described above, if you believe you have been a victim of the state's admitted errors, or your case or conviction resulted from the irrational interpretation that non-plant material marijuana is not usable marijuana, call Camorra Law. Jeff Frazier is standing by to take that call, as is Josh. We are currently offering legal services to evaluate your case and advising clients of potential remedies and our legal strategies for clearing your record from marijuana-related convictions. And I mean this. It would be my joy to start undoing this. I think that this is a path to amnesty. And just so everyone understands, if you have not had this happen to you, listen for a second while I present evidence of what I'm saying is true. Because today I got a call from brother counsel Bernie Jockins, and who is a fan of the show, has been on here, and his wife, Elaine Gates Jockins, who had one of these candy cases, which he litigated to the point of getting and granted and been granted a Daubert hearing, where he was going to, as we've been doing, attacking the so-called forensic science of the reporting of this candy, because they cannot say whether it's synthetic THC, whether it's marijuana, it's incompetence, it's crazy. And he was all queued up, ready to go. And we had a long discussion about what the impact of the amendments were going to be. And he drafted a letter and sent it over to the prosecutor, who are insane over in that court, if I may say so. He's no longer the prosecutor, so I can say that he's not just a regular layperson. Highlighting the significance in this letter of the curative and retroactive language. And sure enough, Bernie and his client immediately received the nulli pros. And for those of you that don't speak Latin, that means dismissal. And for anyone who wants to fight back, I have a file drawer of papers to start undoing the state's errors and making things right for the medical marijuana community. Drop mic.
Yeah. Woo! Awesome. We got a guest queued up.
All right. We'll take a 10-second break. I gotta catch my breath. We'll be right back.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. Our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. Love is the answer, at least for most of the questions of my heart. Like, why are we here and where do we go? And knock on me so hard. It's not always easy, and sometimes life can be deceiving. I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when we're together. Yeah, we'll look at them stars when we're together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. And
All of these moments just might find their way into my dreams tonight. But I know that they'll be gone when the morning light sings or brings new things. For tomorrow night you see that they'll be gone too. Too many things I have to do. But if all of these dreams might find their way into my day-to-day scene, I'd be under the impression I was somewhere in between. With only two, just me and you, not so many things we got to do, or places we got to be. We'll sit beneath the mango tree now. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. We're somewhere in between together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together.
Thanks for staying with us. And without further ado, I understand we have... Introduce our guest, please.
We have Robert Jr. and John Sinclair on the line.
Wow, this is quite historic for me. Let's get them on. How are you guys doing? Welcome to Planet Green Trees.
I'm doing fine. John, how are you?
Everything's good.
Yeah, John, we're good. All good.
Before we talk about the reason why we got you on the show, I do need to tell Mr. Sinclair that I referenced this case today in court arguing, and it's still one of the craziest cases, but people don't know about it, and it needs to be told, the entirety of it. Nevertheless, so talk to me, gentlemen. I know we've got a big birthday bash tomorrow evening. My birthday is today, by the way. I know I want to celebrate with you guys, but happy birthday. And
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Appreciate that. Libras, right? We're all Libras, is that right? But let's do this. Tell me what people should be expecting at the big show tomorrow night.
Saturday night,
sorry. I'll
start off, John, and you can add some color, as they say.
I'm trying to discern you. What do you mean by tomorrow? Are we on the air now?
I'm going to correct that.
Isn't today Thursday?
My mistake, yes.
Party Saturday. I'll start off.
Confused enough already. Start off.
I'll start it off, and then, John, you can add some color and put a buggy whip to it, all right?
Yeah. You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, that's right. Saturday, we're having a party in Ann Arbor at a beautiful home for our leader. I call us our leader because he started this whole thing many years ago when he died for our sins in 19 and got thrown in jail for giving away two joints, as you guys all know. And I just feel that it's time for us to take care of John. So I decided to start this celebration, this party that we're going to have Saturday with Jamie and the guys at Third Coast, the guys at Depot Town, and everybody's coming out of the walls that love John. It's sort of like a silent majority. Everyone knows John and respect what he's done. And, okay, come on out and share the love and give us some dough. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise some money for John. And we've got all kinds of people flying in from all over the country, and some of the best musicians here in the Detroit area playing. And we got a great feast, and it's not going to rain. It's going to be beautiful. So what else should I
What's the venue? Do we mention the venue and what time? Because I messed that up earlier.
Yeah, it's 6200 Geddes Road, which is right outside of Ypsilanti, between Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor. It's the old Harry Bennett estate. Harry Bennett,
no shit.
Yeah, right. It's so ironic, John.
Wow.
That you, a liberal, if I can use that word, is going to where...
Liberal? I'm a liberal. I'm a democratic socialist.
Yeah.
Just like Bernie Sanders.
Right, but to where the henchmen for Henry Ford had his home, you know, it's sort of like...
Harry Bennett would have thrown us off the bridge.
Yeah, he would have. He would have come after us. Anyways, it's a beautiful...
Wow. Beautiful
mansion. We got a giant tent, and it starts at 4 o'clock on Saturday. We're going to have music going till John's birthday at midnight, and the bands are... part of the Howlin' Diablos, and Betty Levette from New York. Don Was from Was Not Was is our musical director. Lathoff Soddy will be holding down guitar. Larry McRae is going to be playing, and all kinds of other people are coming in that want to play. We're starting it off with King Jazzy, a reggae guy, playing to start the festivities. So that's the time, that's the date, and that's the place.
That is awesome.
Anything else?
And 4 until 12.
Yes, 4 until 12, and you can get tickets from me on my website, www.bigcitybluesmag.com, or you can call me at 248-582-1544, or you can come to the door and we'll be taking credit cards and cash at the door. So come on out and have some fun. This is a historic event with our brother that we need to take care of, and the love is going to be all over the place. John, you got something to say?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen, he says.
Oh.
I say amen to that.
Do you mind, John?
Anything else?
Yeah, do you mind, John, if I tell a little story about your case, just because I've been reading it and trying to advocate it and how significant it is and that nobody knows about it other than, you know, do you mind if I do that for a second? Because it's interesting, and I think it's an important part of Michigan history. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, but a lot of people know about my case. It's a famous case.
But what the case actually says when you read it, you know, they know that it was overturned. And
we overturned the laws of the state of Michigan. We had them declared unconstitutional.
Correct. But what had happened was
that's a pretty big case.
They ultimately, even though it remained on the Schedule One, the way that they determined that the punishment for marijuana was going to take place was not as if it was a Schedule One. And there's this great language in the opinion, the majority opinion, saying that the legislative scheme, because it doesn't punish as a real Schedule One, because otherwise that would be irrational. And that could never hold up. And only because the legislature was smart enough to not punish marijuana the schedule, because everyone knows it's not. And then they go through this whole, this is what, 1971, 72? And there's a lot of studies. They even refer to coffee being more dangerous and tobacco being more dangerous, alcohol being more dangerous, or equally as bad back then. And there's no way that it would meet the criterion as defined by the federal government. Just calling it out as what it was. I mean, the Schaefer reports referred to it.
Well, yeah.
You know, the Nixon, you know.
Demanded of them. They didn't do that on their own. They didn't offer this as their opinion. They ruled on our arguments, which was that marijuana was not a narcotic. Every fool knows it's not a narcotic, but it happened to be the law of the state of Michigan. Like these goofy laws they just passed. They don't have anything to do with reality, but they passed them, so.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Why don't we get a legendary opinion on this? You got any comment on what you think about the? There's two bills. One is the new law setting up this ridiculous overregulated system, and then the other ones were the amendments allowing for the non-plant material and to be possessed, trying to fix. I don't know if you heard my rant before, but like they're good in the sense you don't see laws often that are retroactive and are intended to cure the state's admitted failures. I mean, there's no other way to say that. But what do you think about both, either of you, this new 4209, or what they're calling the Michigan Marijuana Licensing Act?
I'm drawing a blank.
What about John? You know what? You know what we're talking about, the new law that created the provisioning center law or the dispensary law. That's a, John, any comments on it?
These laws they just passed, John. What do you think about them?
John, are you still with us?
He may have dropped off.
I think John dropped out. I think John dropped out, guys.
Well, no worries.
All right, so, well, tell us this. What time is it? Is the music going to be going all day? It starts at 4. It's been going all night. Is there like a headliner? Yeah. Who's keeping up
with the headliner? Eddie Levette and Lace Alsade and the Hound Diablo.
Nice.
That's the headliners, but there's all kinds of people coming out. But it's 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock for the big shots who spend a lot of money on John. We call them the VIPs, and then there's a regular price for people to come in and just enjoy the music. And we got a giant tent and a beautiful house, and we're all set. It's going to be a fun time, and John deserves it. I mean, when I found out that Tommy Chong got $20,000 for the hash bash, I said, well, what about John?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what stirred me on. I said, well, John should get some money, you know. Yeah. And he didn't really want to ask for any money. So as his friend, I've pulled all this together with Jamie and a bunch of other people, Ted. And we're going to take care of John. So that's what this is about. And to have a big fun. We want to have a big fun party while John's still with us.
That sounds great. And you're absolutely right. He deserves every bit of it. And I hope everyone out there listening that can make it out will head on down to 6200 Geddes Road. It is 6200,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, get on the site.
Yeah. And what can you give us that website again, Robert Jr.?
Yes, BigCityBluesMag.com has got the press release with all the information on it and my phone number. If they want to reserve tickets and get a credit card in advance, all they got to do is call me.
Perfect.
And there is a football game Saturday, so and it is fall, so it's going to be, people need to wear a little warm clothes, but. It's going to be, the music's going to keep us warm, and seeing John happy is going to make us warm too.
I also heard Jamie will be conducting a jack-o'-lantern carving demonstration and seminar right before everything started. Yeah,
and doing henna tattoos as well.
So,
are these advanced techniques or
caricatures?
Are you going to start slow on the advanced techniques?
He's going to ease into them, I believe, but you'll have to show up to find out. So thank you, Robert Jr. Thank you, John Sinclair. That's the end of our segment. Michael, do we want to?
Thank you, Green Tree. Thank you, Green Tree. See you Saturday.
Thanks, man.
All right, very good.
All right.
Okay. All right, so we got a couple minutes. Maybe take a quick break and come back.
Well, the shell is going to hit.
Oh, you're right. Good point. It's such a nonsense. All right, so we'll take a quick break, and then we will come right back. And
coming right back.
Join us in the MMA chat room. It is live, and people are on there. I've noticed.
Aw, shit.
MichiganMedicalMarijuana.org/chat.
Slash chat.